the planet, and all the pigs of the world. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Doing great. And I'm not alone. I have with me a guest. I would love to introduce Greg Gehring.
Hey, Greg, how are you doing today?
It's great to be alive.
Awesome. So we've been talking about how to get sick for our last probably six or seven episodes. And, of course, one of the things that's huge in the news, and you can't get away from it, is the massive pandemic that is sweeping the world and causing widespread panic and, of course, giving a wonderful farm animal, the pig, a bad name, and that, of course, is the swine flu. And we brought you on board, Greg, because we think you know a little bit about flus, and we wanted to share that with everybody. But before we do, you came into the kind of health arena differently than probably most people did, because you didn't start off. You started off as an author and a speaker, traveling the world, getting people fired up. And we thought before we get into kind of the flu stuff and what people can do about that, we'd like to know a little bit more about your background and how you got into the public speaking and the book that you wrote, and then also how you transitioned into what you're doing now.
Right. Well, I'm a former school teacher. And just saw that the general public needed more about life skills and life effectively than anything. So I wrote the book called Fired Up for Life, and ended up doing seminar programs for kids, for parents, and then for corporations. And that sent me around the world, from the United Kingdom to India to all over North America. So that's the sort of the motivational speaker story. And I'm married to a beautiful Chinese woman, and she introduced me to a product that had shown significant results. I completely made it of herbs. And she asked me, well, Greg, let's raise up this company. And I was not interested at all. But the more I learned about it and the more I saw what good it could do, it actually caused us to shift and to take on this product. And as you know, when you take on something and try to raise up a company, it's full time.
That's right. So that's more than full time usually.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been 3.5 years now, and the product is becoming known around the world, actually.
And the name of the product is FluStop, right?
Yeah, the current name is FluStop. That's the name in Canada.
Right.
Yeah, we have some issues because the regulatory agencies do not like you to mention the name of an illness that's in the diagnostics books in the name of a product, because it instantly suggests that you can do something with that. And if you're a natural product, you're definitely not supposed to do that.
Mm.
So I think we're going to have to rename it to Virus Killer. Or maybe Viral Terminator. What do you think?
Viral Terminator. I like it.
I like that one too. Robot with red eyes on the label.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go after a few copyright issues as well, right?
I don't know. Maybe not.
We'll call Arnold about it.
Yeah, we'll get Arnold running around in a movie spraying this stuff at mad robots and having them fall over. I think that'd be awesome.
I like it.
let's talk a little bit about the swine flu that's going on. And what's interesting, too, is it's amazing to me how we lose control of our language. Because when people talk about the swine flu pandemic, it sounds like epidemic, sounds like it's a catastrophe waiting to happen if it's not already happened. And pandemic actually just means there's a flu running around and different people are contacting it. It doesn't mean that it's a catastrophe necessarily. So it's kind of funny that they use that word in the local colloquialism. But having said that, we still have the World Health Organization and other organizations running around talking about vaccines and how we're going to have to give this to, you know, the pregnant women and kids and old elderly people first, and there might not be enough, and how they're making, I know in Canada, they're making enough to give every Canadian two shots, and the potency is supposed to be, you know, the equivalent of three shots or something already, so, or maybe two shots, I'm not 100% sure, so... But let's just talk about this swine flu. Is it something you think everybody should really be concerned about?
Well, I would... Your readers can do the research, or your listeners can do the research themselves.
No. We tell them, Greg, don't let them do research. We serve it on a silver platter. Just tell them.
Is that how it works? Okay.
We don't hold it back. We tell it the way we... history will either vindicate us or hang us up by our toenails, and that's kind of what it is.
Well, it certainly appears as if all the news agencies, et cetera, are overstating what's going on. I mean, there's no doubt that the swine flu is out there. We've seen evidence that it is mutating, but not to the degree that the scaring of the general public.
Okay, so just a second. Because, yeah. Greg, in Martin and my relationship, I am the guy that has no clue. Okay, so I always stop him and ask him when there's something I don't understand. So what I don't understand is you're talking about the swine flu mutating, and it's not mutating as fast, so that's not that's a good thing, that's not a bad thing. So what, first of all, when I think of a flu mutating, I think that's like terrible. But... why do we care if it mutates or stays the same?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, those people who believe that immunizations work, there's a concern there because the immunizations are supposed to stop a particular strain. But if they mutated, then the immunization is rendered impotent.
Okay, so what you're really saying there is that if we just say that vaccines are the be-all, end-all, that's a totally different discussion.
Yeah.
But they're coming out with all these vaccines. They really don't have, they're saying they don't have time to test it. They're saying we're just going to get this out because this is such a terrible catastrophe. We need to, you know, the cure won't be worse than the disease, maybe. And so, but if it's not mutating, then there's a better chance that the vaccine would actually help somebody than if the thing is mutated and changed totally by the time the vaccines come out.
Well, that's what, quote, they are saying, yes.
That's what they're saying. Okay, cool. And would you say, it's interesting looking at the news, because I'm actually looking at some news right now, and one headline from Calgary, Alberta, is health officials confirm seventh Alberta death from swine flu. So, of course, I don't know what time period that was.
Ever.
I guess ever. I mean, but I don't know if that was like one this month and one 3 months ago and one 4 months ago and one 7 months ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. The other thing is I have nothing to compare it to. So, of course, this like, oh, wow, seven people have died from the swine flu. This must be really bad. However, in the same period of time, there's probably been three people stabbed and two people shot. And, you know, how many people died in hospital? I don't know, right? So
I would like to say this. You know, there probably are about 3,000 or 4,000 Canadians dying a year, 35,000 Americans dying a year of the flu, the influenza, the one that we've always had.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, if you've got 35,000 people in North America dying from the regular everyday flu that we've always had, and you get, you know, 1,000 dying from the swine flu,
is it even a blip, right?
Is it even a blip, right? You know, and maybe it's the same number. I mean, we don't know, and I guess that's one of the things when we look at the information, it seems to me that it's always skewed with, what are we comparing it to? You know, 100,000 people, do they die from car accidents, right? So, we come across this all the time. Millions of people are dying in Africa because they don't have fresh water. So, you know, if you have 2,000 people dying of swine flu a year versus 2 million in Africa from no water, why are we spending millions, if not billions of dollars on a vaccine when we should be spending it on fresh water for these people that really need it?
Here, here.
But the problem, of course, is that we don't have any stats to look at because we're not getting that information.
And the media feeds you what they want you to hear.
That's right. And that I guess, that's my point, right? Because I look at the article and I go, wow, 9 Albertans die with swine flu. Well, if it had been 17 with regular flu in the same period of time, it puts it into perspective. But that doesn't seem to be what everybody wants to do.
Well, we do have an agenda. We want to hype up the swine flu because we want to do something. Greg, have you any theories about what the government and the pharmaceutical companies are actually trying to accomplish?
Well, what I'm about to say, Martin, might sound overbearing because I'm in an industry where I'm promoting a natural anti-flu product. But I have come across a plethora of information about what the pharmaceutical industry is doing to the citizens of the world, and it is absolutely horrendous. There's the drug called Tamiflu, and it is being highly promoted. It is being promoted for kids, young kids. It's being promoted to, I've got a Globe and Mail article here, Manitoba's natives, pregnant women get priority for flu drug. That's Tamiflu. And yet, when you look at the adverse reaction reports of Tamiflu, they're horrendous. I'm just reading here from the Independent newspaper in the United Kingdom. 418 reports of adverse side effects to Tamiflu and a further 686 suspected cases of adverse reactions. And, I have a 51, here's another quarter, 51-50% had one or more side effects from Tamiflu. And the side effects can be significant, right down to hallucinations and kids committing suicide. It's serious. And that's just Tamiflu.
So the treatment is worse than the thing you're treating, yeah?
Well, absolutely. And you know, the promise of Tamiflu is that it might reduce the time you have the flu by a day.
Well, yeah, it's not that big a difference. Also in the news, since you were just talking about the news, I think these people might be doing more than all the pharmaceutical companies in the world. But in Israel, 50 rabbis prayed on an airplane as it circled the country earlier this week in an effort to fight the flu. The aim was to stop the pandemic so people will not keep dying it, one rabbi told a local newspaper. So those of us that have been following Dr. Emoto's work on thoughts and love and praying and everything else, I'd be happy to know that the rabbis in Israel are doing their bit and probably more effectively than the pharmaceutical companies.
Well, and yet I just read that the Israeli government accepted the new vaccine.
Well, they're not listening to their rabbis, that's for sure.
No.
Yeah, because the rabbis are not paying the wages of the pharmaceutical companies.
You know, the other thing when we're talking about these pharmaceuticals is these vaccinations that they have produced are untested. They are full of chemical toxins like ethylene glycol, which is antifreeze, and formaldehyde, and also adjuvants, which they're designed to increase the speed of which these so-called immunizations work. But the one adjuvant is called squalene.
And that thing is there to knock out the immune system, is it not?
Well, it's not to knock it out. It's actually to cause a higher response in the immune system. But in fact, what it's doing is it's degrading the immune system. And we've got tons of evidence on this too, especially via the U.S. military, where they know that those who are involved in being injected with squalene, they developed arthritis, fibromyalgia, rashes, and chronic fatigue, and abnormal body hair loss, non-healing skin lesions. It goes on and on and on.
Actually, Greg, this is looking pretty good for us because we offer a solution for fibromyalgia and skin rashes. So it looks to me like we're going to have a pile of new customers.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of people around the world looking for ways to naturally heal the damage that's been done by these pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, I won't be surprised at that.
Yeah, so good for you for being ready and prepared.
But I feel badly for the fools who will trust the media and submit themselves to this treatment.
Please be careful, everybody. Be very, very, very careful out there.
Well, you know, careful doesn't do it. We need to put it out there and say it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So let's say it, you know. It's if you're taking the flu shot, number one, you're subjecting yourself to these adjuvants, which are going to disrupt your immune system. Number two, you're subjecting yourself to toxins that are going to cause long-term damage, inflammatory conditions. Number three, you're taking something that's going to be perhaps like driving through the rearview mirror, because it's going to be going against all the strains that we're able to multiply right now. But because it's what's the word that you used? Mutating. Because it's mutating, it's not going to stay the same anyway. So if I protect you against 50 or 60% of the stuff that's out there now, 40% is going to be new and no coverage anyhow. So all you're doing is you're essentially injecting your body with poisons in the hope that that half of the stuff that's coming your way is from the territory that this may, not will, but may, cover.
Well said.
Yeah, and just to add kind of an exclamation mark to that, in the UK, this is today's Independent. They're talking about Tamiflu's adverse reaction. They've had over 400 reports of adverse reactions, and then another 600 or so that they think might be because of it, but they haven't confirmed that it's actually from it. And about 300,000 people have been given Tamiflu since the start of the swine flu outbreak. And they're basically saying if you start it and you have an adverse reaction and you don't finish it, you could be contributing to the development of swine flu mutations that are resistant to the Tamiflu drugs. So, you know, it's like if you have potential side effects, too bad, finish it off.
Greg, how many side effect cases can you report from the use of Flustop?
Zero.
And how many units have you put out there? Thousands?
Thousands. Yeah. Thousands.
So if I have the swine flu and I'm thinking instead of taking this Tamiflu, I should take something more natural, would the Flustop be something that I should give a whirl?
Well, all I can tell you is this. We have done a clinical trial with Flustop, and we tested three different influenza viruses. And all influenza viruses have the same characteristic. They have something called HA and NA, which are kind of the little spikes that stick out of the round virus. And those spikes are what punch into the mucous membrane and they start multiplying.
And so does the swine flu have this too?
Yes.
Well, it's the H1N1 or H5N1.
Yeah. Yeah. So the H1 is the HA, so they call it one. N1 is the NA on it. So that's how they identify it. So they all have the same characteristic. So all I can tell you is, with the three viruses that we tested, that those HA and NA were knocked out. They were inactivated, and so we've got proof of that. We leave it to the reader to extrapolate. Will that work on all viruses? Well, we think so. We have not done a live virus test on an H1N1. But we get lots of... we've got the clinical trial, and B, we get lots of testimonies coming in. I just had a private school in the interior of BC order a whole pack for their students because they had flu outbreak this year. And businesses are calling me. I want to protect my employees. Yeah.
So, Flustop has a lot of. It's a herbal based product, right?
That's correct.
So, how long have people been studying these herbs and using them?
Oh, that's a great question. thousands of years.
Oh, so these aren't things that just kind of appeared and you went in your guard and picked them off and said, well, let's just try this a couple months ago.
No, it's been tried over thousands of years. And the Chinese have something called the pharmacopoeia. And the pharmacopoeia used to be anecdotal, meaning stories were passed on from generation and they were valid. But now the pharmacopoeia is also scientifically backed. So you can open up that pharmacopoeia, you can look up a herb, and it says what the herb does.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of science behind what the Chinese have done. And now the West is waking up to the power of those herbs.
So you just woke up a little earlier than the rest of it, yeah?
Well, there's quite a few people out there using natural products now. And our hope, and your hope, Martin, is that people just wise up to even greater extent. There's so many possibilities.
Well, here at Life Enthusiast, we, of course, promote natural treatments, natural cures, natural preventive measures and all of that. So here we are telling the world you can have something that will have no side effects. I've actually taken it myself when I traveled to Europe not long ago. I sprayed it in my mouth flying there just as a preventive. Certainly was feeling fine, thank you very much.
We have a doctor that uses it, and she says, I would not get on it without a bottle of Flustop.
Okay, so, Greg, we've been talking about, how negative consequences occur from people taking drugs, and I'm of kind of the opinion that if I can know there's something that's going to have zero negative impact on me when I take it, because it's all natural and it's got thousands of years of use behind it, and then on one hand, and on the other hand, I've got something that I know that hundreds, if not thousands of people are getting very ill or having very bad effects or even almost dying, like the person in that independent newspaper in the UK. One of the people there had asthma. They thought she had the swine flu, gave her a double dose, and she just about died, right? So, and they didn't give her a diagnosis or anything. They just gave her the drug without even thinking, right? Like, why do we have pharmacists and doctors if you can just, why don't you just have a pill dispenser somewhere, put a quarter in, get your pill, and be done with it? So, but it seems to me that if I've got something that I know there's zero negative effects, they say it's supposed to do this, here's something that's got thousands of people getting ill on it, and they say it's supposed to do this, why not take the something that has no negative effects first, and then if that doesn't work, go on to the next one. So now, having said that, my question is here I am, let's suppose I've got the swine flu, and I'm going to take the Flustop. What could I expect to have happen? Would I, 6 months later get over it? The next day be up and running the marathon, an hour later feeling good? Like what? And I know everybody's kind of different, but I'm just wondering if there's, when do you say, okay, this is not, in my individual case, because we're all individuals too, is not working as well as I should. I need to look and do something else.
Right, right. Well, I like your comment about the fact that no harm can come to you. In fact, you can take we've had people with severe fevers, and we had them drink a whole bottle of Flustop.
Wow.
And their fever's been knocked out, and no side effects.
Can you just imagine, here's this little bottle of the Flustop, drink the whole thing, no problem. Here's a little bottle of this Tamiflu or whatever, pop the whole thing, right? Like, in one case, you're going to be up and running, no problem. The other case, you call the morgue.
May not see tomorrow. That's right.
I mean, no doctor would ever tell you to take more than one or two, right? That's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, the clinical trial showed that 75% of the people had their flu symptoms gone after 2 days and 83% after 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, when you contrast that with just not doing anything at all, usually about day four in flus and colds, that's when your immune system can really kick in. So there's a big delay there in your body. Also depends on how early you catch it. So you can use Flustop in two ways. You can use it preventatively, or you can use it as soon as the symptoms come on. But even if the symptoms are full on, we still see that it's worked powerfully. I think it was in year two that I was promoting this product that I got really sick. I had a really bad flu. And I remember Friday night I sprayed. All day Saturday I spread. I mean, I was down and out and in bed. And Sunday, same thing. And I was getting really mad. I said, you know, what is this crap that we're promoting? Monday morning came. I was 100% well.
Wow.
That's never happened to me. If I get a flu, it's week, 2 weeks, and then side symptoms and lung problems. And that, you know, that's the other thing about these flus is they leave other problems afterwards.
Yeah.
So
I typically have a hacking cough for months and months and months after I have a flu or a cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite common. Actually, I have been hearing about that people are finding now that they have a lung problem that just lingers 3 weeks, 4 weeks, just unable to shake it.
You can get either viral pneumonia or bacterial pneumonia. Hmm. And I know Martin's coming out with some products to help with that as well, because that's something that we need to be prepared for, is to help people after these flus.
Right. I liked what you said about doing it as a preventative, because if you know your kids are going to school and it's flu season, you know, out the door, you know, wash your hands, spray in there, you know, when they come home, wash your hands, spray, and then they'll probably be fine, right? And like Martin, when you went on your plane trip and took that, I think that was just brilliant. We know when we're going into places that are high risk, you know, going to see somebody in the hospital, and it could be high risk. And why not take it as a preventative? I think that's awesome.
We tell people if you're going flying, depending on the length of your flight, spray in the middle of your flight, spray at the end of your flight, and before you go to bed that night, spray again. And then you should be fine. And if you're going to be in any crowded environments, same thing. And if you've been in the company of kids with flu or even adults, do the same thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the if you use it that way, too, the bottle lasts a long time because it's in a spray form. So it lasts preventatively, it'll last about 15 days worth of spraying. So that's, you know, a long time.
You know, Greg, being kind of like the marketer that I am, when I heard you talking, I think all you have to do is go to the convention center and hire a pretty girl at every convention center in North America. And as people walk in, say, here's some flu stop. Here's a little pamphlet, and after 3 days, when none of them have the flu and they're all used to being sick and everything else, they'll be lining up to make the orders, particularly when they see everybody who is sick.
Hey, Scott, who's going to interview these pretty girls to make sure they're right for the job?
I'm sure that you could find someone who would be happy to do that.
Yeah. We're very excited about the product. This summer, a lot of people have ordered through Martin and through other means that we have, including from London, England, including from Texas. And so we're excited about the fall and just really making this product available for people.
Awesome.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want some recap. You're telling me that the product, even though this batch that we have on our hands has got a date on it that expires it in about December, is still good for another year after that, yes?
Yeah, we've done what's called the stability test on it. The government requires you to date stamp all your product, so we did that. And it also requires you to do stability studies on the product, so it's left at the factory and it's tested every year. So we know that it's A, still safe, and B, still effective. So yeah, if you've got product that goes beyond December, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Use it right into the spring. Not an issue.
Okay. And so the real smart thing would be, before kids go to school, get a bottle, right?
Yeah. Arm your family. Be safe. You know, I mean, do all the health things that I know you folks have advised your people about.
We need to say that. Alkalize.
Yeah. Strengthen your health, get ready for the fall, and yes, have enough flu stop for your family for the fall and winter.
Cool. So, Greg, is there anything, I'm kind of curious about some of the herbal ingredients of Flustop. So is there any that I might have heard of or any that stand out in your mind that you want to share with our listeners? I know we're getting towards the end of our show, but we've kind of just sort of said it's a herbal concoction and left it at that. So I'd like to kind of put a little more clarity into some of what might be in it.
So sorry, Scott. That is an ancient Chinese secret. you would recognize. Sorry?
Oh, you make me laugh.
You'd recognize licorice.
Yeah.
Most people associate licorice with, candy, but it actually has tremendous medicinal properties. And you'd also recognize something called sandalwood.
Okay.
The other ones, the common North American won't recognize, but you can always go to to Martin's website. I'm not sure if you've got the pharmacology on there or not.
We put all the information out. We support our people's information.
Yeah, so they can go there.
Okay, so licorice root, some other type of root that I can't say, jujube fruit, something else I can't say, and sandalwood. So we're not looking, I guess one of the things I was curious about, whether it was like 1,000 different herbs that were, boiled on a full moon, or if it was just 3 or 4 or 5. So what you've done is you've got some very specific herbs that the Chinese medicine has proven over thousands of years to be very effective.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually traveled to the factory this year to look at the operation and to see that how it's all done. And I was just delighted in seeing it all.
Cool.
Good. Well, there we have it. So no antifreeze, no mercury, no squalene. What else don't you put in it?
Just good herbs that are good for your body. By the way, there's another property of this product as well, and that it serves as an anti-inflammatory. We get a lot of testimonies where people say, I had this sore throat coming on, and as soon as I sprayed it on, my sore throat went away. So it has that property as well. Although the main thing we promote is the antiviral aspect of it.
Very neat.
Yeah.
I guess.
Scott, can you think of anything else?
Well, I was just thinking, have we kicked vaccines enough, or do we need to talk a little bit more about that?
I always invite the readers, and I know you guys say serve it up on a silver platter, but go out there and try to find any evidence that flu vaccines actually work. Try to find a study. Get on Google.
Well, there cannot be, because they cannot possibly prove it, because people will get the flu regardless of the vaccines, because they say, well, we're about 60% coverage.
Yeah.
So then they'll have this excuse, well, I guess it was a strain that wasn't in the vaccine. Too bad.
Yeah. And in fact, if you seek out someone by the name of Dr. Tenpenny, you'll find that it's not just flu vaccines. You'll find out about all vaccines. So I encourage your readers to do that.
Oh, yes, I am certainly carrying some interesting opinions about vaccinations myself.
Yeah. So. But one thing I do want to encourage everybody, too, is that don't let all this get you down, because your mental, the mental side of your health is extremely important, too. You want to build your body and build your mind and come into the fall with strength and joy and love and peace and patience and kindness and get out there and live life, but just be wise and protect yourself at the same time.
Edward, well, I think that's a pretty good place to sort of start wrapping up this show, because you got me fired up hearing that, Greg. So
good to hear.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to buy one.
Greg Jerry, the author of Fired Up for Life, and also one of the principals behind the Flustop. And Martin, do we have anything special for anybody that wants to try out Flustop?
Well, we're selling it as a two-pack for people who are ready to roll at a discount. This product was originally sold for a lot more than what we're selling it for. That's a $38 for two. And then there's a real discount when you're buying six boxes we give people a really decent price there. So you can find it on Life Enthusiast Co-op's website, and it's I'm just trying to find it here. I don't know my website well enough, I tell you this. We have a category for cold and flu remedies, and it's in the last quarter of the links when you go to shop by products. So that's what I can say about it. It's at www.life-enthusiast.com. If you're having any difficulty finding it, it's at call us 1-866-543-3388. We'll be here as before, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I want to thank you, Greg, and thank you, Scott. I hope we're helping you people out there. Call us. Your input is needed. And thank you for listening.
Bye-bye, everybody.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.